And we ended last week with the 14th verse. I've been thinking on this about the pattern and the clay. And if you recall, in the 29th chapter, Israel thought they were the potter and God was the clay in the 16th verse. Thought on this quite a bit this past week. And this is the way it is with many of God's people. Israel, of course, is an example to us of God's people. Many of them have this attitude that they can just turn God whichever way they want to turn him, and that he'll do what they want him to do. And that's not the way it is. God's the potter, and we're the clay. We can't just tell him, now I'm going to do this, and he's not to follow me now. You know, when we first begin to know the Lord, we say, Lord, just walk with me. Just walk with me. Well, it should be the other way around. We need to learn to walk with him. And this is something we learn as we walk with the Lord. We learn of this, because our ways are not his ways, nor our thoughts his thoughts. So we have to learn his ways, and we have to learn to walk with him. All right, tonight we'll begin with the 15th verse of the 30th chapter. I'm going to read the 15 through 18. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And that verse has been so precious to me for so long. But they said, and ye would not. But the Lord said they wouldn't do this. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon on the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on an hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, precious, precious, the reason that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. There is so much in these verses, so much hidden that we don't even see when we first read it. God's remedy for man is to return to him so he can find rest and peace and confidence in the Lord. That's God's remedy. But man, as we read here, in general, has deserted the Lord. He's laboring on his own, and he doesn't even trust the Lord. This is man, natural man. This is the way Israel was in their unbelief. Now, he calls himself the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. This is Lord God is Adonai Jehovah, and he's combining the sovereignty of God, the sovereign authority of God, with his redemptive name here. It's all connected to redemption. And Adonai has the meaning of master or owner. And we went into all this when we went into the titles of the names of God. He's the master and the owner, and also he's there. He is Israel's husband, the remnant God is. Now for us, Christ is our husband. When we lay hold of that vital place that he called us into. But he was their husband. He was Israel's husband, but they didn't want him to listen to him. And then he calls himself the Holy One of Israel. Over in chapter 43, and just thank the Lord for these precious verses. I was thinking as we were getting ready to come in tonight, I studied this afternoon, and I thought, here we're going to speak about scripture that was written 700 years before the Lord ever came. You know, this is an honor. The Holy Spirit wrote this for us that many years ago. In 43:14, thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, and the Holy One of Israel. See, your Redeemer is connected with the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ship. But the main thing we want there is the Lord, your Redeemer. And then in chapter 44 and the 6th verse of Isaiah, 44:6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Here again, this is Jehovah Tsebaoth, who is their Redeemer. I am the first, and I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. Can even tell that he's from eternity past, and he will be in eternity in the future. All right, now only in this one, as Israel here is admonished, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In returning here also speaks of repentance, and in rest shall be your salvation is another rendition of this. In the 28th chapter, and these verses are so precious together, in chapter 28 and the 12th verse, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is refreshing, yet they, that is Judah, would not hear. Sad fate when man will not listen to the Lord. The only way that Israel is going to know, come to salvation in the Lord is in this. In repentance and in rest shall be your salvation. Then in quietness. This is a precious word. This means to repose, to settle, and to be still. Be still and know that I am God. Hard for man to be still. To settle. The love, the word settles it. There's a scripture in Peter that was precious to me, and it comes to my mind quite often. I can find it. Yes, in 1 Peter 5 and the 10th verse. This is what settles us. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he has suffered a while, make you perfect, that means complete, established. He makes us firm in the things of the law, of the Lord, and he strengthens us with spiritual power, and he settles us. He enables us to dwell in the fullness of the Lord, in the house of the Lord. This is his work that he does within us. He settles us down. Praise the Lord. So in quietness he does this. And then in confidence. This is trust. This means in trust. Trust the Lord. This is hard for natural man. Hard for us many times to just turn things completely over to the Lord and forget it. Say, Lord, it's in your hands. You're the only one that can work this out. He's omniscient. He knows. He can see everything concerning the trial. We don't, but he can. So Israel's salvation depended on their turning away from their self-chosen way, and this is true with all man, with faith too, from their self-chosen way, their busy care, and cleave to Jehovah, to renounce all help of man, and let the Lord act alone. Can we just leave him there? He'll leave us or leave everything. I think that song, leave us there, leave us there. Take your burden to the Lord and just leave it there. He knows how to work things out. We don't. And this is what he wanted them to do. But notice how sad the last part of that verse, and ye would not. This is true with many of God's people, and we all learn this. We learn that he's the only one who is able to work in our lives and give us this rest, this quietness, and this confidence. Because this is where our strength is just leaving it with the Lord and trusting in him. Praise the Lord. But no, they said, no, we're not going to do this. In the 16th verse, we're going to flee upon horses. Because to ride away on a racehorse was their proud and carnal ambition. So the curse came upon them. Let's read Psalm 20 in the 7th verse. Verses in Scripture have a special meaning spiritually. Psalm 20 and the 7th verse. First speaks of the strength of natural man. Psalm 20 and the 7th verse. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. He's much greater. He's much stronger than any horse. Psalm 33 in the 16th and 17th verse. This is God's word. 33:16-17. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Wonderful scripture. Then let's go to Proverbs 21. Since the word speaks for itself, and the Holy Spirit takes this word and speaks it to our hearts. Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. This is what they were doing here. They were depending on these horses to flee. But safety is of the Lord. The Lord wanted them to stay. They were not to go down to Egypt. Remember, that's what we had at the beginning of this. They were on their way down to Egypt in this 30th chapter. Because the Assyrian was on his way and they wanted to flee, but the Lord wanted them to stay, to just trust him. So they fled upon horses. They said, "We will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they pursue that pursue you be swift." Now, this is something that the Lord told them what would happen. The 17th verse, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. And at the rebuke of fire shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of the mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. The scripture that God gave them back in Deuteronomy 32:30 is reversed here. God told them what would happen if they obeyed him, but here they're not obeying him. Deuteronomy 32 and the 30th verse. We're going to read the 29th along with it. Deuteronomy 32:29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. So this is reversed here. They are the ones who are going to be the fugitives here. From the few, there's going to be a few, but they're going to be chased. And then those that be left of Israel, the nation Israel that's going to be there, it's going to be just like a beacon. And this word beacon here means, that is like a lofty pine upon the top of a mountain. The nation after which resembled a thick forest will become like a lofty pine standing solitary on a mountaintop. Now this will be after the Battle of Armageddon, after they go through and the mass of people that are going to be killed during that time we read in Revelation that the blood is going to be up to the horse's bridle. It's going to be so terrible. But this is what has to come before this nation is turned to the Lord. And there's going to be this little remnant that he's going to protect. There's always been a remnant that God has among this nation Israel. I was reading last week and recounting this to Rick the other day when we were eating, but I was reading in the where was it? Oh, when they were carried away captive, when Israel was carried away captive, and it was Jeconiah, I believe it was, that he was the last of the kings of Judah, and they carried him away captive, and they slew into Babylon, and they slew his sons before his eyes, and then they put out his eyes. And then a king, and I don't think I can find this right off, but a king came and took him out of the prison, and he put him at his table and fed him. It was after quite a period of years. But he had a son named Mattaniah, and this son was one of those that went back with Ezra after the 70 years captivity and began building the wall of Jerusalem. And I thought, here it looked like that tribe of Judah was completely wiped out, but it wasn't. There was this son that went back to build this wall of Jerusalem. And it's from that one that the nation began to get built up again. And sometimes it looks in our lives like there's just a thread of hope, that there's that thread. And that's what spoke to me. I thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, this 18th verse. And therefore will the Lord wait. What a scripture. That he may be gracious unto you. Look how long the Lord's been waiting. From the beginning of time, really. But especially from Calvary, he's been waiting. He waits that he may be gracious unto you. They're going to have to be reduced because of their rebellion to a very small remnant. And they're going to be reduced by the judgment of God. But he's going to wait for them. And this word wait means delay. He will delay until they go through the judgment that he has already told them they would go through. Be wonderful if Israel as a nation today would understand this, wouldn't it? It would save them a lot of heartache, but they're trying to make peace among themselves, and they're not going to do it. So therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. This is a precious portion. This word exalted is from a primary root, which means to be high, to rise, or raise. Now, what did Jesus have to do before he could show mercy upon anyone? Let's go to Isaiah 52:14. There's a little nugget that are so precious. Isaiah 52, and it's going to be precious when we get over here to this, to these chapters. 52 in verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. Oh, this enlarging means shall prosper. He shall be exalted, and this will be in resurrection. And extolled, this will be in ascension. And he shall be very high. He will be exalted again. This is when he will be raised from the dead and ascended into glory. It's in resurrection that he was exalted. And he witnesses of his power then and begins to have mercy. And this is how he could show mercy and will be able to show mercy unto this remnant of Israel because of his death and his resurrection. He will be able to pour out mercy upon them. Praise the Lord, because of his being exalted. He will be over them. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then the last part of this 18th verse gives the reason for waiting and lifting up. And that is that the Lord is a God of judgment. And all he can show is righteous judgment. That's the only kind he knows. He can act in judgment, in righteous judgment then. And then those that wait for him, this waiting is precious. He is waiting when he can show his grace. And those who meet his waiting, or just abide and wait for him with their own waiting, are blessed. As we wait upon the Lord, whatever we're in, and allow him to do the work, then we're blessed. We wait for him. There's some real precious practical truth in this. Wait for him. Israel's going to go through a lot, but when they do, their eyes are going to be opened. It's going to be a wonderful day. Praise the Lord. Blessed are all they that wait for him. That includes us, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to wait on the Lord? Just to let him work and leave things in his hands, and he knows what to do and how to do it and when to do it. Praise the Lord. All right. Any questions now as we go through this? Right. Bring them in. Now let's read the next four verses. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. This is the millennium now. This is precious. You know, it's wonderful. When we taught prophecy, I remember teaching Ezekiel, and if we can put ourselves into the future, into what we're studying about, this is It just helps us to understand what these people are going to go through. Then the 20th verse, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left, you shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstrual cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Won't that be a day? Now he's talking here about this time of judgment that's coming. And then when they say this judgment is going on and this little remnant is there, and they cry out to the Lord, God's going to answer them. Notice that 19th verse. He shall be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he hear it, he's going to answer. Doesn't he do this for us today? When we're in distress, he hears us. We have so many scriptures and psalms that tell us of this. Praise the Lord. All right, this bread of adversity in the 20th verse. Adversity means distress or affliction. The water of affliction, the water here speaks of the flood. They're going to go through a lot of natural things that will be coming upon the world. The water here speaks of the flood. The affliction means to press or to squeeze. And this is such as are eaten. This is what they eat in the time of adversity. They feed upon the bread. Remember when the spies went into Israel and Caleb and Joshua said, they are bread for us? This is what the trials are. They enable us. We need the Lord, so we feed upon the Word. And these trials, these giants, it seems so big sometimes that, well, Lord, I don't know how you're going to work it out. But they become our bread. We begin to feed upon the Word, and they become our strength. Praise the Lord. So adversity is good for us, and the water of affliction is good for us. And these teachers then will no longer be removed in a corner because of the what's been going on over there. But these teachers are going to be like shepherds. They're going to follow the flock, and God is going to direct their steps. Direct their path. And we can just see this little remnant that's going to be left. And it's going to be a small remnant. We can just see them looking up to the Lord and saying, Lord, I need you in this time when all of this judgment is going on. And I need your protection. The Lord's going to protect this little remnant because they will have looked up to him. And they will have accepted him as their Messiah, and he will protect them. Let's go over to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 4, and the fourth verse. This speaks also of this time. Praise the Lord. So many years have passed since the Lord wrote this. Malachi 4:4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with a statute and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah. Now this isn't going to be the man Elijah himself, but someone will come in the spirit of Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, in the heart of the children to their fathers. Before, this word left means before I come and smite the earth with a curse. He is going to deliver this little nation, this little remnant of his people. It's going to be a marvelous time for this little people who have turned to the Lord. Praise the Lord. This 22nd verse speaks about defiling the covering of the graven images of silver. This word defile here just means to defile or pollute. They're going to just throw them away as a menstrual cloth. Over in chapter 31 and the 7th verse, there's going to be, of course, one idol, and we'll look into that in a little while here. But it's going to bring a lot of division. This one idol is going to bring a lot of division among the nation Israel. 31:7, for in that day, the future day, every man shall cast away his idols of silver, his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. Notice what it is. And this image, as we're going to look into a little bit, is called the man of sin. And that's what, when anyone makes an idol, that I don't care what it is, and that's put before the Lord, and that's worshipped, then that becomes an idol and a sin unto that individual. Thank the Lord, he can enable us to cast these things away. We just don't want them. Say, get thee hence. It's a wonderful thing to do, isn't it? Someone was talking the other day about everything material here that is just going to fade away. One minister I was listening to on the radio, waiting for Glenn the other day, and he was talking about everything that man has, the water, we have the water from the Lord, we have the electric, the power from the Lord, we have the sun, we have the moon. Man, in general, never thanks the Lord for any of this. He just takes it for granted. And I think it was Brother McGee was bringing this out. And he said, then man takes advantage of this and makes a profit from it. He pipes all of this into homes, the power, the water, and then he charges. The Lord doesn't charge for it. I thought it was pretty good. But that's what man does. He makes money off of what things the Lord has made. And that's something, quite a twist there. But that's what man does. Doesn't even thank the Lord for it. Glad we can, don't you? Everything and everything gets thanked. We know where it comes from. All right, let's read the next verses, 23 to 27. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground with all. These are millennial blessings. Now this will be after the judgment. And the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. Notice, in that day, that speaks of this millennial day, shall thy cattle feed in large pasture. The oxen likewise, and the young asses that ear or plow the ground, shall eat clean or salted provender, which hath been winnowed with a shovel and with a fan. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high river, rivers, dry hill, rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in that day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Quite beautiful scriptures here. It's beautiful to me and precious to me to see how God, the Hebrew of this, the Hebrew understanding of it, that we can know what he's talking about. That's what's precious to me in these scriptures. I like when he speaks about the rain of the seed. This is the early rain that comes in Israel at about the middle of October. And we want to remember that this land over there is God's land. He gave it to Israel and it belongs to him. Let's read back in Deuteronomy, the first chapter. Man thinks it's his, and even the nation of Israel thinks it's theirs after the natural. But God had to cast them out because they didn't keep that 7 years to let the land rest. This is one of the reasons God just cast them out of the land. He told them to let that land rest every 7 years, and they didn't do it. So he cast them out of the land. That was one of the reasons they didn't obey his word. Deuteronomy 1:8, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. So this land is theirs. Now let's go to the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. The Holy Spirit ties this all together. See, he wrote all of this, didn't he? It's our precious person of the Holy Spirit wrote all of this. The sixth chapter in verses 10 and 11. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he told me would, which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord. And they did, didn't they? Forgot the Lord. He gave them everything they ever would need, but they weren't content. They wanted to be like the other nations. They weren't content with what the Lord gave them. Oh, contentment's a wonderful thing. Let's go to the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy and the 10th verse. The Lord gives us so much, and we need to be thankful for what the Lord gives us. 11:10. For the land, whether thou goest in to possess it, is not as the land of Egypt. It was different. It was a spiritual land. For when she came out, where thou sowest thy seed, and waterest it with thy foot, as a garden of herbs. But the land, whether you go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. Isn't that wonderful? A land which the Lord thy God careth for, or seeketh after, is the margin in the Hebrew. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. Think of that. He's watching that land from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. He's watching. Isn't that precious? All right. Now he talks now about these animals in this 24th verse and the 23rd. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. The oxen likewise and the young asses that plow the ground shall eat salted or purified provender, which hath been winnowed with a shovel and with a fan. This is a precious verse. These animals generally receive barley that is mixed with chopped straw. But then, in this millennial day, they're going to eat clean or salted provender. That is, it's going to be pure grain, which will strengthen them. Now, we know straw. Sometimes we've had to feed straw. We have had to feed straw to our cattle. But, you know, you put a little bit of molasses on that straw, and they sure like it. But this is what this nation Israel here has done with their animals. The asses then were more neglected and received only just a little bit of grass. And if corn was given to them, it was a sign of extraordinary hospitality. Now, we know the ass is a typical of the old creation. Paul speaks about this, uses this in a way. In 1 Corinthians 9, he speaks of it in a spiritual way. They didn't take care of their animals in their unbelief, but in this millennial day they're going to do it. Now we can get some spiritual meaning out of this. That's why it was written for a spiritual meaning. In 1 Corinthians 9 and the 9th verse, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? And this is what they did. In fact, this is what Israel did to the prophets that God sent to them. They muzzled their mouths that they would not speak. They didn't want to hear what they had to say. And this is what Paul is saying here. Don't muzzle the one that God sends to you to give you the word. Or saith it altogether for our sake. For our sake, no doubt, this is written. And this, Paul knew it. That he that ploweth should plow in hope, that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. The plowing was necessary by the oxen, and they even used the asses. Now, I thought of this now, in as we give out the word, we know that we're still two natures. The ass, the oxen speaks of the new creation, that which goes around and around and around and does the will of God. have that treasure out the coin. But the ass was also used. Now what doesn't this speak to our hearts when like when an individual gives out the word? It's not the old creation that's giving it out, but that old creation is part of us yet. So it's the ass and the oxen that God uses. But it's the Holy Spirit that takes control of the ass. And he makes that ass subject to the Holy Spirit as we give out the word. Lord just brought that to my mind as I was. It's a wonderful truth for us. Praise the Lord. Ass, quite a character. All right, in the 25th verse, we read there that there'll be on every high mountain and every high hill rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Now these towers speak of religious bodies. Also speaks of the self-confidence, the self-help, and the pride of man. Today, the nation Israel is very proud. They feel they can make this peace. They're very self-confident. They're vulgar, but the Lord is going to cause them to fall. In the little book of Micah, let's go over there, Micah 5, these things are coming to pass so quickly. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we go home, and I keep saying this, but I believe it, because this nation Israel cannot find a leader. They cannot stop this conflict that's going on over there. It's getting worse. Micah 5, in the 8th verse. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. This is this remnant that's going to be strong. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses, there's those horses again, out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariot. And I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. Isn't that something? But the Lord's going to do everything that they will be depending upon and are depending upon today is going to be thrown down. Now, this is the work the Lord does within us today. A lot of things that is within us that we think we can depend upon, or some person even. But the Word tells us not to put confidence in man. We can't trust this old man. All right. Now, notice this 26th verse. I'm just going to give some facts on this, because we know that during the millennium, there will be a partial lift of the curse. It won't be completely lifted, but there will be a partial lift of the curse. Now, let's read this verse. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. The light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. And when I read scriptures like this, I want to understand, why is he saying this? What's the reason? We read in Genesis, the first chapter, that the sun and the moon were created by God on the fourth day. Four is the number of natural man. Six is the number, is Satan's number. If the six falls short of perfection or completeness. But notice this light is going to, the sun will be sevenfold. This can speak of spiritual light that will increase for this remnant that's going to increase. And God's going to reveal things to them that they never knew before. We read up there again about those teachers that are going to go, and they're going to, you know, the people will hear a word saying, walk ye this way and walk ye that way. The word is going to become alive to them. And so the spiritual light will become, there won't be darkness. They will listen to the Lord. Over in the 60th chapter, now Well, so first let's go over to Romans. May some of you have thoughts on this. This is quite a verse. Let's go over to Romans 8 first. When God cursed things, let's notice here what he cursed. Was it just the earth? Now notice this. This is something, and we can think upon this. These are some scriptures the Lord gave me. The commentaries we have never, they didn't touch this verse. This is why the Lord just gave me these scriptures, because, you know, they didn't touch it. They didn't want to go into it. Romans 8 and the 19th verse, for the in earnest expectation of the of creation. That's not creature, that's creation. Now what does creation include? The sun and the moon, everything in Genesis 1, doesn't it? All of this waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Think of that, that's waiting for us. For the creation, that word again is creation, was made subject to vanity, or profitlessness, not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, that the creation itself, I'm reading from the margin, it's going on the 21st verse, that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now these are just some thoughts the Lord gave us. Since the curse will be lifted partially, the sun will not be as bright as it is today. That's just some thoughts the Lord gave us. That's why he said there that the sun will be sevenfold. The light of the sun will be sevenfold. The curse will be gone partially from the sun and from the moon. So it will have to give more light to the earth. Now these are just some thoughts. Now some of you may have some thoughts on this. It's going to be a wonderful time on this earth. We know that during the millennium, man will still be born into sin. But he will live to be 100 before he will be cut off. We'll read that in Isaiah later. They're going to grow things like they've never grown them before. They're going to keep the sacrifices, three of them, again. There's a lot of stuff that we've had on this, but this is what the Lord gave us. Now, does anyone have any other thoughts on this? No? But we think of it. Creation, the whole creation. The sun has to shine bright today because of the curse. Now, these are just some things the Lord gave us. All right, the last part of that verse, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people. Now, there's a breach, will be a breach made, or a fracture. This is a fracture or a breaking up of this nation. And it will be the result of the Antichrist that will put his image in the holy place. That's going to bring a fracture in this nation Israel. God's going to separate this godly remnant from the ungodly. And he's going to take care of this. And then he healeth the stroke. This word stroke means a wound or a contusion. And the Lord will do that in that day. That Antichrist is going to come any time. And I believe again, as we said often, well, I believe he's here today. But this is going to bring a breach in the nation of Israel. But the Lord is going to bind this up when the remnant turns to the Lord. And he'll heal the stroke of their wound. All right. Now the 27th verse and the 28th, and then we'll quit this for this tonight.